the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Exodus chapter 32, 33. You're going to enjoy these chapters. Sin was involved, but yet God's grace is seen. But there's an interesting conversation between Moses and the Lord. Listen to this. It's Exodus 32, verse 7. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go get down, for your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves." Notice the pronouns. Yours, you brought down. And then Moses talks to the Lord, which is good. Moses pleaded with the Lord, verse 11, and said, "Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt?" And he even follows up verse 12 of the last part, your fierce wrath, and relent from this harm to your people. Alex, when I saw that, I know I brought it up yesterday, but I said it's too good to not talk about a little bit more. This was the Hebrews that were brought out of Egypt, and now here is Moses and God having a conversation about whose people they are. I don't want the Lord to say, "Man, you're not my own." I want him to claim me as his own and not give him reason to say, "No, he's not mine."
In Genesis 3:12, Adam, after the fall, Adam said to God, "The woman that you gave me." to see, you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And here in Exodus 32, when Moses says, "Your people," there's again this kind of passing of the buck and this blame shifting. Is it, "Lord, why doth your wrath wax hot against thy people?" They're not my people. Listen, we're all sinners. We need the Lord. Fortunately, he's as close by as a prayer. But let me say this. The land which we were brought out of Egypt with great power, with a mighty hand. Verse 12 of Exodus 32. "Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, 'For mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains?'" In other words, Moses is saying, if we don't get straight here, the Egyptians are going to say that Moses and Moses' God delivered the Hebrews out just to have them be killed in the mountains and scatter. And let me just say this, Burton, you feel free to respond or not. When God's people unravel, that's a bad testimony, isn't it?
Oh, it really is, and it happened quickly. I want to go back to verse 8 just for a second to get this in. And notice what God said. "They turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them." It did not take long. Just a few days earlier, "Everything that God's given you, we're going to do. We're going to follow you." That's pretty, I would say prideful. And they did not know how weak they really were. Made me think of Peter. "I'll never deny you. I'll never do that," up in the upper room. But then when he was following Jesus after Jesus had been arrested, he followed a floor off. And matter of fact, he denied he even knew the Lord. And so without the power of the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, I just want to tell you, Alex, we are... I'm going to use the old phrase, dead meat to the devil. You know?
Well, yeah.
We are there, and yet with God's power. And here in this passage of Scripture, we find Moses interceding for Israel. That's that, again, we've talked about Moses, a type of Christ. Again, it's not all the way. You find faults. Well, Moses had plenty of them. But we see him interceding for his people. Aren't you glad we have Jesus at the right hand of the Father interceding for us?
We have a merciful high priest interceding for us. You remember in Luke 17 where 10 lepers were cleansed and one comes back to thank Jesus. And Jesus says, where are the other nine? And the man seems to say, you know, I don't know. They fell away. And I think about the Israelites here. They're barely out of Egypt, certainly not even to the promised land, and they're falling away, making that golden calf. Aaron, my goodness, overseeing the syncretism of the Lord and idolatry. And but hey, I got to tell you, I'll say this as an evangelist and pastor, you've got to baptize 10 to keep 3 or 4 nowadays.
Yep.
And so, folks, let me say this. Stay with your commitment to Christ. And if you come to Christ, don't be a fair-weather Christian. You know, listen, as a born-again believer, there are going to be great days. There are going to be hard days. There's going to be mountaintops. There's going to be deep valleys. Stay with Jesus. Don't be a circumstantial Christian, but be a committed Christian.
And look what Moses does. Verse 13, remember Abraham, Isaac, Israel. He had his name changed from Jacob. Notice what he does. He uses the Israel name and not the Jacob name. Same guy, though.
Yeah.
Your servants to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of, I've given to your descendants, and they shall inherit it. And then verse 14. Now, what does your what does King James say in verse 14, Alex?
And the Lord repented of the evil which he had thought to do to his people.
Okay, everybody, Lord, does God ever have to repent of anything?
And I not think, of sin, but I will say this: the mercy of God can be manifested rather than the judgment and justice of God, and how often we need mercy, and how quickly he'll give it. Amen. If we ask.
The New King James does change that, and it says, so the Lord relented from the harm which he had said he would do his people. And when you know the characteristics of God in that word in the Hebrew, a relented is a, repent's not a bad translation, but because of how we understand it, he is going the, we think of repenting, he was going the wrong way, and now God has to turn around and go the other way. The word, I think, relented does
is show, a better rendering.
Is a better rendering of that Hebrew word.
Exactly, exactly. Well, verse 15 of Exodus 32 says, Moses turned and went down from the mountain, and the two tablets or tables of the testimony were in his hand. The table were written on both their sides, one on one side, one on the other. And of course, it says that this was written with the finger of God. You know, Bert, yesterday I looked up, what does that mean? This is in Exodus 31:18, that the Ten Commandments. And by the way, I hope this week you watch Charlton Heston in that great movie. I looked up, what does it mean, written with the finger of God? You know what it really means?
What is it? Go ahead.
Written with the finger of God.
I was waiting on that. I figured
I mean,
was,
really.
Yes, amen.
You and I, we can't take our finger and write in stone as if we were writing in the sand, but God could do it.
God could do it.
Moses is coming down, and the tablets were the work of God, verse 17 of chapter 32. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said to Moses, there is noise of war in the camp. And Moses says, look, it's not war, but it's the people partying. And it says they rose up to play. And in verse 19, he throws these tablets and breaks them on the ground. He was, Bert, is this a fair statement? This is righteous indignation.
Amen, Alex. The New King James. So Moses' anger became hot, and he cast the tablets out of his hands and broke them at the foot of the mountain. They were already breaking those commandments. They were breaking about having no other gods and, you know, not take the Lord's name in vain. The whole idea, several of, they were lying about, you know, what they could do. Several of the commandments, were, somebody went through them and says, really, all 10 commandments were already being broken right
there.
And I tend to believe that. And
but I got to say it, forgive me, but no, in verse 17, it sounded like the noise of war. And yes, it was absolutely spiritual warfare.
Oh, man.
I mean, the people,
yeah.
Idolatry, immorality, just it, the implication is it's just a drunken, debauched orgy going on.
And later on, they're going to find out who caused this or who led in this. They're going to find out 3,000 people that at least led, but a lot of them, they went along with it. Nobody stood up. We talked about Aaron not standing up, and he should have left Aaron and her. They were the guys, kind of. He went up and said, you know, he took Joshua with him, so Joshua wasn't there, but Aaron was, and so here he is. Then he took the calf which they had made, burned it in the fire, ground it to powder, and he scattered it on the water and made the children of Israel drink it. Okay, listen what this rebellion is. You're going to have to own it. I think it was bitter. You know, see how horrible sin is? And Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? Mm. Listen, what does Moses do? He turns to the person in leadership. Although he was secondary, yes, Moses was, but Aaron had been there when he was speaking to Pharaoh. Aaron had been there when he had taken the message back to the Hebrews. What have you done? Leadership has its everybody, I'd love to be a leader. Leadership has some costs, doesn't it, Alex?
Well, yeah, and let me say this. I get the impression, you correct me if I'm, you know, unduly critical here. Aaron didn't have any backbone.
He did not.
I mean, because, and Moses says, you know, explain this. What am I seeing here? I'm up here meeting with God for God's revelation for this nation and ultimately the world. I come down here and look at verse 25. Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked under their shame among their enemies. This was as immoral as it gets. I mean, the false worship of a golden calf. And Aaron had said, well, you know, they kind of wanted a god like the god of Egypt. And they, verse 23, they had said unto me, make us gods. Let me just say, if you're in leadership, and by the way, the pastorate, you know, of course, we're to be polite, respectful, congenial. However, we are to be biblical.
Amen.
And Bert, standing for the truth of God's word, it's not always going to make us popular. And, you know, maybe when I get to heaven, I'll get corrected. But I've always felt like Aaron was a man with no backbone because he capitulated to the people rather than standing strong for truth.
And did not take ownership of his mistake or his sin. Listen to verse 25. And I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it to me, and I cast it into the fire, and this calf came out. I didn't have anything to do with it. I just put it in the fire, Moses.
And that is the most, passing the buck.
That's lame, man.
Hey, yeah, we threw all this gold in this fire, and just the calf just came out of the fire. No, he made it. And by the way, idolatry and trying to mix the worship of the God, one foot in the church, one foot in the world, Bert, the middle of the road is a good place to get run over.
I'm just going to go say it. I heard there's only two things in the middle of the road, a yellow stripe and a skunk, dead skunk.
Wow. Yes.
I know that's harsh, but listen, who's on the Lord's side? That's going to happen. Come out and be ye separate, saith the Lord. That's what we want to do. Follow God all the way.
This Easter season, we're offering a special downloadable resource that will inspire you and deepen your faith. He Is Risen is a digital booklet featuring powerful articles from The Stand and AFA Journal that explore the life-changing truth of the resurrection, the significance of Easter, and how to share these foundational truths with others. For a limited time only, it's our gift to you for any donation of $5 or more. Help us continue to share biblical truth, defend Christian values, and equip our families. Visit afr.net/offers.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and I are in Exodus 32. Later on in the show also, we'll get to your phone calls and Bible questions. And Bert, as we reconvene on this Easter week, what a special week. And amen. Let me just challenge everybody to reflect and think about this, that the Son of God died on the cross to pay for our sin, and we put our faith in Jesus. And, you know, we were talking about Aaron and the horrible backsliddenness here and the people falling away. When you come to Jesus, come to Jesus. Bert, I had a great mentor early in the ministry, Pat Cronin. He's in heaven, but we would have staff meeting. I was youth pastor at Friendly Avenue Baptist Church, which was, you know, one of the larger Baptist churches in Central North Carolina. And he would say, "If you're going to be there, be there."
Amen.
And you, by that he meant, look, if you're going to, whether it be to volunteer or to serve on, you know, we had all sorts of ministry teams or staff member. If you're going to take your stand for Christ, take that stand.
You know, if you travel a lot on airplanes, matter of fact, you'll be traveling back from Alabama to North Carolina later this week.
Correct.
Can you have one foot in the plane and the other on the ground? Or you got to commit all the way in order to be carried
that
away?
That would be fatal. You've got to commit all the way. And let me just say this, Bert. Forgive me for interrupting. And folks, we're going to resume Exodus 32. This is probably 25 years ago, I was watching some sports show on TV, and all these rock climbers that climb without like a safety rope, which I would not do. And I was getting antsy just watching these guys climb rocks. But they say, now listen to this, this is classic, that rock climbers get to a point called a commitment move, where with everything they've got to let go of where they are and grab the next movement up the face of the mountain. And they said climbers fall and often die if they, at the point of a commitment, if they only give part. Maybe they're afraid, but they try to keep one foot where they are, but try to get to where they need to be. A commitment move requires 100%. And it does with Jesus. And that's why we would say, hey, the Bible is God's word. Stand on it. The Great Commission is our assignment. We've all got a role to play. Paul said that it is our reasonable service. In other words, Jesus died for us. Of course, we are to live for him.
Amen, and we're to do that. Now, let's continue in verse 25. As we follow it, we want you to have this surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord, and he is Lord of all. So he needs to be Lord of your life. Let him be Lord in your life. Verse 25. Now, when Moses saw that the people were unrestrained, it says naked in other versions, for Aaron had not restrained them. There it is again. Even the Bible says this is Aaron's job. To their shame among their enemies, Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, "Here it is. Whoever is on the Lord's side, let him come to me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him. And he said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let every man put his sword on his side, go in and out from entrance to entrance throughout the camp, and let every man kill his brother, every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." So the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and about 3,000 of the men fell that day. Moses said, "Consecrate yourselves today to the Lord, that he may bestow on you a blessing this day, for every man has opposed his son and his brother." Now, Alex, again, I want to be on the Lord's side. Listen, that's enough there to convince me. Judgment, the love of God is real. The mercy and grace of God is so wide, you can't even measure it. As far as the east is from the west, he removes our sin from us and remembers it no more. But when we do not come to him in repentance, turning away from our way, turning away from our sin, and we are going to face judgment that God's judgment has, I want to tell you, you don't want to be on that side. You want to be on the Lord's side, don't you?
Well, you really do. And I love that word there in verse 29. Exodus 32:29, Moses said, consecrate yourselves today to the Lord. Now, we've got a word kind of like that, the word sanctification. Bert, do you feel like that word, consecrate, to be set apart?
Amen. Come on out from among them. He's saying be separate. Don't be like the world. And I think that's what he's saying here. I agree with you, Alex.
Yeah, and let me just say this, folks, and I was this morning, I had the privilege of speaking to teenagers at Berry High School in Berry, Alabama, and I would say this to people of any age, to take a stand for Jesus and to live by his word, I'm just going to say it very, very probably will cost you some friendships, you know?
Yeah.
But and you think, well, man, in every generation there are issues. In our generation, I think it's been the line of demarcation has been biblical morality, biblical sexuality, even gender, marriage, versus the world's 10,000 opinions. But here's the thing: that friend or that acquaintance or that person that we want to curry favor, they didn't hang on a cross and die for us. Jesus did. And we don't unnecessarily burn bridges, obviously. But if standing for my Savior costs me some relationships, well, so be it.
It's worth it.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus
gave his life for me. Yeah.
It's worth it all to follow Christ. It really is. Notice what happens. After this, he consecrates yourself. Then Moses... He wants to make a difference. Notice what he does. Again, verse 30 and following. And it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, you have sinned a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. Listen to that word. Now, Moses could only say, perhaps I can. Jesus Christ, because of his death, Amen. Burial, and resurrection, he doesn't have to say perhaps. He can and he will when you turn to him in faith. Listen, that's what we're pleading with you on this program. Easter, this is Holy Week. What a week to get right with God. If you're not saved, what a day to get saved. And there's a number you can call, 888-NEED-HIM. There are people there that will talk with you right now. And they'll help you to come to that knowledge of Christ. And some of you may have wandered away. Yes, you are really saved, but there's some sin that's crept into your life, and you're swaying, you're turning around, not going in the direction you should be going in. Listen, today's that day. Jesus can make your sins. He can wash them in his white as snow. Let me read verse 31 and 32, yes. Alex, and I'll come back to you. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, these people have sinned a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book, which you have written. Wow, Paul said something similar to that. I would
Paul
be accursed.
Said, yes. Now, Paul said, yeah. My heart's desire for Israel that they would be saved. And he said, if my brethren would believe in Messiah, you know, I would be accursed. What mercy. Now, fortunately, neither you nor I have to die for another human. And the reality is we couldn't. But isn't this mercy? I mean, Moses is essentially saying in verse 32, look, I would do anything for this people to be redeemed. And God tells him in verses 34 and following where to lead them. There is judgment, but God is a merciful God. But I'm telling you, Moses, he is just agonizing for the spiritual condition of these people.
He really is. And this, honestly, Moses, he was a reluctant leader after he had done what he thought he could do by overcoming the Egyptian oppression when he killed the man, and then we find out that he had to run 40 years in the desert, and then the Lord called him at the burning bush, and he became the leader that God would use to bring the people out so they could go in. Now, they are out of Egypt. That's amen, Alex. They're out of Egypt, but they're not in the land yet. They're in that in-between state. And guess what? A lot of them, you said something about pastor having to baptize 10 to get three that's all the way finished well. That's a sad state of affairs when it is that way. But you remember the seed sowing on the ground, it was only 25% that you can say guaranteed they were saved. They was questionable about the rest of them. I've heard people try to say, well, they I believe they were saved, but I believe, listen, let me say, make your title clear. Make sure that you're living for God so that when you pass from life unto death, that people won't say, I wonder if they were really saved or not, because you know what they were doing. You know how they would talk. You know how they would cheat. Listen, no, make your title clear. Let God be God in your life. Alex, that's a message we need for 2025, isn't it?
It really is. I've done a few funerals where they just did not know the spiritual condition of the deceased. And it is so hard. It really is. Do you remember in Joshua 24, he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? You know?
Yes.
Here's a great quote. Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher of the first Great Awakening, he said in one of his diaries, he said, I go forth to preach with two propositions in mind. First, that everyone ought to give their heart and life to Jesus Christ. Secondly, even if no one gives their heart and life to Jesus Christ, I will give him mine.
Amen.
And I mean, really, folks, purpose in your heart. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's foods. And 1 Peter 3:15, purpose in your heart that Christ is Lord, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone who asks a reason for the hope within you. We go on down here, and the Lord said to Moses, depart, go up hence, you and the people which you have brought out of the land of Egypt. Verse 1 of 33, Moses, go up hence, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt. Again, you know, Moses says, hey, God, this bunch belongs to you. God seems to imply, hey, Moses, they're your people. But go to the land, and here's where it all comes down. God's covenant, the land which I swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, unto thy seed I will give it, and I will send an angel before thee, and will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittite, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, that's really kind of an axiom or a saying, you know, milk and honey, right? And the Lord is leading Moses. Now, here's something that's really true in verse 5. The Lord had said to Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come up in the midst of thee in a moment and consume thee. Therefore now, put off thy ornaments from thee, that I may know what to do unto thee. All right, this is a time of repentance and proving. Bert, this is not original with me, but it's been said, the people had come out of Egypt, but Egypt wasn't out of them.
That is true. I believe with all my heart that is so real with these, but it's also, we've got to come out from among them. There's that separation over in 1 Corinthians 6 when it talks about that list of sinners, fornicators, homosexuals, thieves, robbers. It says they'll not inherit it. And then it says, and such were some of you. Come away. God didn't save you in your sin. He saved you from your sin. It is a deliverance. People say, do you believe in the deliverance ministry? Praise God, I do. He delivers us from the grip of sin. And he can one day, Alex, we're going to be delivered from the very presence of sin. But until then, we're going to live in a fallen world. Our sins have been forgiven. But I want to tell you, we become a dual-natured person. That old man, yeah. Paul talked about it, that old man, that old nature, it's still with me. He says, I crucified, I buffeted it, I fight against it so that this new man that sinned me would have his way. Have you ever heard whichever one you feed the most is the one that wins the battle?
Yeah, exactly. I think really Paul kind of intimates that in Romans 7, that there's the flesh that wars against the spirit. Hey, I'm going to give the number. We've got a break in just a minute, and we, after this next break, we'll answer Bible questions. So if you have a Bible question, whether it's related to the Exodus study or something else, we'd love to hear from you. The number, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, if you've got a question on today's edition of Exploring the Word. But the thing about it is that they fall, they stand, they repent, they backslide, but God is with them. And just like with salvation, see, salvation is a covenant, and it's not us that's keeping it. It's God who would never leave or forsake us. And just as in verse 1, there is the reminder about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the promise of the land, the descendants. Isn't it good that redemption, it's not based on our performance, but God's promises, which cannot fail?
His promises are sure. Listen, turn to Him, trust Him, follow Him. We'll be back right after this break with your Bible questions. 888-589-8840. This Sanctity of Life Month, we honor the over 66 million babies whose lives have been tragically ended through abortion since Roe. Sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at even greater risk now. But in the midst of this darkness, there's a light that shines, and that's Preborn. Preborn's network of clinics have rescued over 300,000 babies from abortion and have prayed with over 80,000 women to come to Christ.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. This is Bert Harper, asking you to join Preborn in protecting life. One ultrasound session costs $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Any gift will help. $100, $200, $1,000. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Amen. A lot of these songs, I just hate to interrupt. I could listen to them the whole thing, but we want to get to your calls. But let me remind everybody that this Friday, April 18th, besides it being Good Friday, it's the last day that you can register for the Activate Summit, June the 12th through the 14th in Tupelo, Mississippi. Activate Summit, it's about biblical authority, and you want to be a part of that. But you can register online at activate.afa.net/summit and activate.afa.net/summit. So you want to do that. Get that special, special deal of the cost before Friday the 18th. So do that right now. Alex, I throw it back to you. How's it going with you, man? You got anything coming up special to yourself?
Well, we do. A lot of things, actually, at my website, alexmcfarland.com. But I want to make a mention of our summer youth camps that we've done for over 20 years. The website for the youth camps is equipretreat.org. And in August, we've got a camp that's near Richmond, Virginia. Wonderful camp that the Virginia Baptists run, and we've got it for a week. And it's a first time I've done a camp in the state of Virginia. And so please pray. Please check it out and let kids know it's for middle school and high schoolers. And we're just praying that we have a good first year there in Virginia. It's not far from Richmond. But the website for our summer Biblical Worldview Youth Camps, it's equipretreat.org.
I hope you'll register. I'll tell you, with Alex, you'll be blessed. Let's go to Michael in Georgia. Michael, thank you for calling today.
Hey, how you doing? I was looking at the likeness of Moses stretching out his arms, just like Christ stretched out his arms on the cross. And when you got to the verse about the Levites taking up the sword, as Jesus told us to take the gospel, and how he told Peter about a sword. And at the end of the Bible, it says the sword, the word of God is a double-edged sword. It means that you and Alex McFarland is a Levite when you go out and testify Christ.
Hey, listen,
wow,
amen, Michael. Thank you. The observation is real. We are to be soldiers. It's politically incorrect these days. Passivity is recognized, except you're being active on something that's politically correct. But the Word of God, listen, it is still the sword of the Spirit, Alex, still. And we're to let the Word of God speak, and it will divide asunder all that needs to be divided, doesn't it?
Exactly. It's like 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, spirit, soul, and body. The Word of God. That's why when we're witnessing, we comment, we speak, but it's the Scripture that the Holy Spirit of God uses to pierce through the hearts and attention of people, isn't it?
It is. Something about it won't return void, but it will go forth and accomplish what He sent it forth to do. So all of you that are Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, pastors, chaplains, stick with the Word. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly, and then let it overflow into the message you give to others. Michael, thank you for that, brother. It's a reminder of how important it is that what we do here on this radio and the conferences and the preaching we do be straight from the Word of God. Thank you, brother. Let's go to Linda in Texas. Linda, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. This is your poetry lady in Texas.
Oh, yeah, I remember you, Linda.
I just wanted to share this quick thing. I teach Bible study fellowship on Monday nights to the younger children, and when we're doing Revelation this year, which, oh my, it has been exciting. Anyway, one night when we had gone through the message to the churches and we hit Laodicea, one of my little boys came back the next week. He has not accepted Christ yet, but he said, can I tell a story? And I said, sure. He said, there was this man, and he was walking along, and he saw a fence. On one side of the fence was the devil. On the other side of the fence was God. And he had to make a choice. And he said, you know, I think I'm going to sit on the fence. And I went, oh, my. He said, yeah. And then he turned around and he said, you know what? The fence belongs to the devil.
Wow.
The mouth of babes.
Woo. Why halt you between two opinions? If God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. Great word, Linda.
Wow. That's powerful. You can't sit on the fence.
Amen.
Neutral you cannot be.
Amen. That middle road that we were talking about, a yellow stripe, you know. And Linda, thank you for that. And thank you. Keep up the poetry. And that was a great word picture. That was awesome that child came up with. Let's go to Kentucky and talk to Frankie. Frankie, thank you for calling.
Well, thanks for taking my call. The question I have, when Jesus was hanging on a cross and everybody was making fun of him, when he cried out and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, were they all forgiven?
Alex?
No.
You have to repent, turn away from, but he was speaking, I think, forthrightly, that they really were caught up. I'm not sure those Roman, except the centurion, he came to himself and realized what is going on, didn't he, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, in Matthew 27:54, the Roman centurion said, truly this was the Son of God. I mean, think about it. One moment that Roman centurion was a cause of the cross. A minute later, by believing, he was a beneficiary of the cross. But, you know, in John 17, Jesus had what we call the high priestly prayer. Father, I finished the work you've given me to do. The hour is come. Sanctify them. But when he from the cross, that great cry of mercy, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. But that doesn't mean the whole human race was automatically redeemed, does it?
It does.
People still have to be born again.
You got to be born again, and that's what it is. And when we find out the stoning of Stephen, and they laid their coats at the feet of the Apostle Paul, which was Saul at that time, we find out Stephen prayed, Father, forgive them. He did not add, they don't know what they're doing. That was interesting to me. He left that out because they had heard the gospel, they had heard about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and that's what they were doing. They said, man, we're not going to hear any more of this stuff. And they knew what they were doing. And so, listen, you know what you need to do. If you're listening today, you need to turn to Christ. You don't need to delay. You don't need to say, I'm going to find a more convenient season. You don't need to say, I'm almost ready. No, get into Christ and do it now. Frankie, thank you for that good question. Let's go to Texas and talk to Jim. Jim, thank you for calling.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm traveling outside El Paso on 10, and I have one major question, but if you don't mind, I'll ask both. Maybe you can handle both. I've always been curious. I've read it, but I'm not going to pretend I'm very knowledgeable. But I've often wondered when Moses, in I guess it's Genesis, Exodus 32, I believe, when it says, here is your God, O Israel. Are the Jews talking to themselves, or is that the mixed multitude talking to Israel? And my second question is, when I read about the blood of the Lamb of God, Jesus, if it has to be sprinkled on the altar, is there some place I'm not detecting where his blood was actually sprinkled on the altar?
Okay. Alex, did you get those questions?
Well, the first part is probably a reference to Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one, which is the great, it's been called the great declaration of monotheism. Now, the God of Israel, nationally, and certainly by God's call and God's covenant, the God of Israel is Yahweh. But now, personally, the people still had to believe it. But, you know, like it says in Exodus 33 here, that Moses took the tabernacle. All right, they had the Ark of the Covenant, which included the mercy seat, where the blood of all those sacrifices was sprinkled. Now, the blood of Jesus on Calvary, that's the blood that was shed as the permanent final sacrifice. The Bible says the propitiation for sin, the turning away of wrath. Now, let me say this, and Bert, I'm going to throw it to you. Jesus' blood shed on the cross, which we commemorate this Good Friday, we celebrate the resurrection this upcoming Sunday, the blood of Jesus makes salvation possible. Putting our trust in Christ makes salvation actual. His blood was shed, the payment was made, the tomb is empty. But we still have to respond to that. The free gift is offered, but we respond to it, receive it, by believing in him.
And that blood he shed was the sacrifice that was made. It was like when we've been studying in Exodus about the, you know, altar of incense, the table, all the furnishings there. And at one place is where the sacrifice was made, and then the blood once a year would be sprinkled there at the mercy seat by the high priest. And so, Alex, what we see here, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And what was significant, the atonement has the idea of a covering, whereas the blood of Jesus washes white as snow. And so, Hebrews makes a big message about the blood of the lambs, the bull, and the goats could not take away sin. But the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It's what Jesus did on that day. And so, Jim, we hope that helps, brother. Thank you for listening. And be careful, man, that's about as west of Texas you can get in El Paso. So enjoy that. Thank you for you calling. Let's go to the great state of North Carolina and talk to Robbie. Robbie, thank you for calling.
Thank you so much for taking my call. They're probably going to think I've got a trick question. It's not like that. My brother and I were discussing the salvation of Judas and knowing his wrong and obviously the ultimate wrong. But, you know, he had remorse in his heart and went and, threw that silver back at the feet of those Pharisees. And only God knows the answer to this, but how do you feel that, did he repent?
Okay, Robbie, good question. Let me just share this with you. Remorse is not necessarily repentance. And this is why it's so important that we have a turning away, not just the sorrow of sin. Alex, I set that up. You take it away.
Yeah, I do not think Judas was saved, you know?
Yeah.
Now, remorse, that's like Cain. You know, Cain killed Abel. And he said, my punishment is more than I can bear. It was really like remorse. I hate that I'm in this conundrum. But you're right, remorse is not the same as repentance. But here's the thing. It says that, in Matthew 26, Jesus said, the Son of Man will go just as it is written, but woe to him who betrays the Savior. It would be better that he had never been born. Now, there's more I could say, but, you know, Judas committed suicide. That alone was not, you know, that's not the unpardonable sin, although it's wrong. But here's the thing. I would find it hard to say, to believe the Lord would say of a saved person, you know, it would be better that they had never been born, you know?
Yes.
I mean, salvation is a great blessing, but the Bible says that Judas betrayed the Lord. He betrayed innocent blood, and it says, it calls him the son of perdition, and it says he went to his place. I'm sure he regretted what he had done. He did not like the implications because he had to have known it was wrong. But I don't really see that scripturally, and certainly nowhere in church history, do we get any indication that he repented and was truly born again.
Alex.
Unsaved.
Good word. Let me add one thing. We'll get to the next call. It says he had a demon from the beginning. The idea was he had it to begin with, and it was no sign of it changing. Okay? From the beginning, it was that way. And I think that's right. Robbie, hope that helps, brother. Let's go to Charles in Mississippi. Charles, thank you for calling.
Hello, brothers. God bless y'all, and thank you for your ministry. It's a real blessing to all of us. I'm looking forward to being in heaven with y'all one day.
Amen.
I liked what Michael had said earlier about our body and, this being kind of Levites, but when we're born again, you know, this. We're told several times our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. So kind of in a way, we are spiritual Levites because we're responsible for keeping his temple, our body, holy.
Amen.
And the other thing real quick is in teaching, you know, this part of Exodus with Aaron, you know, I was just thinking of, you know, the Lord is so merciful, and it's a good thing that he is the one that judges us. And he's just, but he's also merciful. And the thing with Aaron, he did not initiate. It was not premeditated, the whole episode there. He should have resisted it as the leader. But the ones that were really, you know, punished there in a severe way were the ones that were involved in, you know, stirring up the idolatry.
I think you're right, Charles. I'm having to cut you off. Time's fleeted away. A great point. That's exactly right. Great point. Alex?
It wasn't premeditated.
Hope everything goes well in Alabama tonight, brother.
Sure. Hey, we'll be at the Berry High School, 6 p.m. tonight, the Berry Community-Wide Revival. If you're out this way, come see us.
And we'll see you tomorrow with more of here on Exploring the Word on the radio network known as American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.